back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week. Have some Maryland scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery from our friends at the Ravens. We'll be doing that over at the Beaumont, having a delicious crab cake on Thursday in the Crab Cake Tour, all of it brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation as well. We got a big football game here this week. The Buffalo Bills, after having their toe stubbed a little bit down in Miami after we had our problems here with Tua Tagovailoa the previous week. We welcome in a guy here that he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm not going to go down that path. One day he will be. He's doing all things Buffalo and all things Bills, and every time I have him on, it allows me to bring out old pictures of he and I and Jim Kelly from back in the day, last century. Welcome Steve Tasker back onto the program, and our task right now is breaking down this Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens game. Steve, I know you're happy not out of there having to run around chase Lamar Jackson anymore. Right,
Ravens are a handful offensively. They run it really well, and Lamar can throw it really well too. I don't think he's getting the credit he deserves for how much of the offense he carries, and I think here in Buffalo it's a little bit of the same. Josh is involved with over 80% of the offense, just like Lamar is. So it's these two guys coming in with the crew, and we'll see which crew can give their guy the best chance to win. But Lamar, I think with the designed running game that they have for him, is a little bit more of a handful than even Josh Allen, even though Josh is playing lights out.
Well, give me the handful on Lamar. I mean, the handful was catching him a couple of years ago, and the sleight of hand and ball fakes and left right and getting hips to turn the wrong way. Boy, the game's evolved. I mean, for him, and especially in the offseason, his own quarterback coach, all the blah, blah, blah about the contract and all that stuff. 3 weeks into this, we're seeing him do stuff he wasn't doing 2 years ago, for sure.
Yeah, he's better and better and better. You can't outrun him. He can outrun anybody in the front seven and most of the guys in the back four. That's a problem. That's a problem for a team who isn't used to coming up and bearing up in the run game and then having to turn and catch a guy that fast. Plus, he's got the ball in his hands every play, and he can throw it. So if he gets you the play-action game and the way that they can use, Lamar in that is a real issue for defenders, because they got to decide in a split second whether they're going to come up and chase him or drop back and defend him. And you got to get it right, because he throws the ball – like I said, I think he throws the ball way better than people give him credit for. So he's hard to stop, because also, he's not handing it to somebody and backing out a lot of the time. Sometimes when it's him, if he doesn't hand it off, they got an extra blocker up there. Now the numbers aren't right. So Baltimore's got a real edge in that respect, as long as Lamar is a part of their running game and teams are still adapting to it. And they run it at a high level. That's why they're hard to beat. That's why they get up on the Dolphins 21 points in the fourth quarter. So yeah, the Ravens, I thought they were going to play very well, a lot better this year than they did last year with all the injuries. There's no way, I don't think, now certainly everybody's going to get injured, every team will, but I think the way that the Ravens got struck last year, this year can be nothing but better for them in that regard, and in that division, that may be all it takes.
Well, Steve, they were like pistoling for years and sort of moving him left, moving him right out of there. And now it feels like they want a pocket, despite having a fourth string left tackle. He's not even really a left tackle in Falele playing that position. We don't know where Ronnie Stanley is. But the notion that he's standing in the pocket and making plays from the pocket without bailing, without running, without even getting hit in a lot of cases either, because you don't want him getting broken in half sitting in the pocket, but allowing plays to develop. This is a turn for them, and it's certainly something that I think when everybody in the league passed on him in the first round and he sat there in the green suit waiting to be called, this is something that I think most offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, head coaches, personnel people believe that they would never want him to do and never think to have him do or think that he could be successful doing it that way.
No, that's right. He's proven everybody wrong. He doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady back there either. He's just got to be serviceable. He's well past that. I mean, I think one of the things that about it too is with a unicorn like Lamar, there are certain things you need in place, would love to have in place, that other teams don't think about. You'd like to have guys who can block on the outside, but also run routes and get open. You'd like to have those guys like Cincinnati's got. You'd like to have the guys like Buffalo's got, like, these teams that have all these weapons on the outside. You'd love to have that for them. but it doesn't really help you that much on the other aspect of your offense. Lamar enables you to run so many facets of different offenses so well. I don't know that anybody's had to put a roster together like that around a guy. It's an issue, I think, because, you know, a couple of years ago, they're saying, hey, we need wide receivers who can block in the running game. Well, you know, they're not getting anybody signing up for that as a wide receiver in the NFL. So you
well, it was
get,
Willie Snead, one of one, right? Literally.
Right. Who wants to go to, you know, if I want to be a wide receiver in the NFL, I don't want to go to a running team. So you either got to draft guys who turn into that or are that, or create some way of being attractive as a franchise to bring guys in who can be weapons on the outside. That's one issue. The other issue is, like you say, if you want to run the football and give your guy a chance to do it, well, do you know, your offensive line's got to be intact and it's got to be healthy. And you've also got to bring in running backs and guys who can complement Lamar and give him other people to hand the football to be successful as well. So it's almost, you know, it's almost, and I know every team wants to bring in the top flight guys at every position, no question. But you also got to make your franchise and your offense attractive to guys like that. And Lamar's a little bit of a unicorn. It's going to revolve around him. So if you want your share of targets, you've got to share them with Lamar, not with another wide receiver, not with another, with a tight end, not with a running back, but you got to share them with Lamar. So you got to get guys' minds around that, I think. And as a coaching staff, you got to work that as well. But man, oh man, to have a successful offense, I think, you know, there's no question. Everybody would love to have a guy like Lamar who can facilitate all of that stuff, finding the guys and working it and sharing the targets and making it work all the way across. I mean, they got some problems a lot of teams would love to have, but I don't know we've ever had anybody solve them because it's so rare, and like Lamar is so rare.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Lamar and surrounding him with the cast. And you go back to 2019, before you guys really even got any good, you know, Marshall Yanda's out there great, and they're in second and one all day long, popping off 8-9 yards on first down on runs, falling forward. It changed a little bit last year, and certainly it's going to change a lot once he gets $50, $55 million a year as to what you're going to be able to put around him. But the injury situation last year, unprecedented on both sides of the ball, it finally got Lamar 10, 12 weeks into the year as well. You guys are having some injury issues there, right? I mean, all this promise and how good we can be. The Ravens went through that last year where Harbaugh spent the offseason apologizing for the injuries because they probably should have been pretty good last year. You start losing Micah Hyde in week two. Things start to fall apart. Offensive line. How's the health of the Bills? You get a little some concern about that, Steve?
They're nicked up. I mean, with the exception of Micah Hyde, most of their injuries have been, you know, an ankle here, a hamstring there, an elbow here, a foot there. It hasn't been, you know, four ACLs, you know. Now, certainly Micah Hyde's herniated disc in his neck is a problem, but – and he's not going to be back. But, you know, one guy, even if it's a key guy, you know, you can kind of like, okay, we got some guys, right? We can cover for it. But the thing that's gotten with the Bills injuries, a lot of these guys are going to be back in a week or two or 2 weeks. You know, it's not going to be like like last year for the Ravens where you lose nine guys for the season kind of thing. So it is a problem. It was a real problem in Miami because they were already thin. They got four guys out in the secondary where they always play five. Taron Johnson's the only guy that was out there who they thought they would be out there at the beginning of the season. Still waiting on Tre'Davious White to come back from his last year's ACL, which he will be in a month or two or 2 months, whatever. At the end of the season, second half of the season, he'll be back. So their injuries, while they were difficult this last week in Miami, don't seem to be long term. It seems to be one more issue in a week to week basis. They're not going to know exactly who they've got, but they should have at some point this season their number ones almost all the way across the board. So they're not really panicking and scouring the waiver wire or anything like that. But it was an issue this last week, and I think it did cost them the game in Miami.
Steve Tasker is our guest. He is, of course, up in the great city of Buffalo, up in Western New York, making their way down here, bringing all the fans down here, raising the ticket prices this week and all that good stuff. Josh Allen and his emergence for you. And I mean, you've been in Buffalo forever since you played there, Jim Kelly and all that. All the quarterbacks that came, all the coaches, all the personnel, all the players, whatever the hopes may have been of being more than a 500 team. What is it about Josh Allen that, you know, in this particular, because I see Rex on TV and I'm like, oh, that's right. He was coaching there 5 minutes ago as well. My boy Jimmy Schwartz was up there running defenses. They've had lots and lots of different people and coaches. This feels, you know, I saw Coach Levy come out a couple. This feels like it's a together thing, like maybe your group, that this feels like they're going to have 3 to 5 years here, maybe more with Josh Allen, but with this particular group to try to get this done. And it feels like might be getting late early. Might be in year two or three already at this point.
Right. They've been good enough to get into the tournament and they've been good enough to win a Super Bowl for 3 years. They play in 2019. Maybe they were short of it, but they were a good playoff team. They had a 16-point lead on Houston and Deshaun Watson in Houston before that one slipped away. Then they were in the championship game, the AFC championship with the Kansas City Chiefs, and played their worst game in 2 months while the Chiefs played their best game in 2 months. And it turns into a 13-point or 14-point loss. The next year was the 13-second year where Mahomes pulls it out and they lose the coin flip, don't get the ball back. It's that kind of thing. They've been good enough to be there for a while now. And you're right. If you're talking about a 3 to 5 year window, they're in the middle of it now. But they do seem to be getting better every year, even in the midst of this window being open. This year, their offensive line, when it's healthy, is a step above where it was a year ago. Their receiving core seems to be deeper, particularly at the slot position, than it was a year ago. Their running backs are better. James Cook adds something to them. The rookie out of Georgia gives them a little dimension they didn't have before. And, of course, Josh now is a fully blown face of the franchise. I'm in control of the offense. I've got some say, kind of wields some power within the organization and wields it extremely intelligently. So they're perfectly willing to let Josh make some have a voice within, you know, the higher echelons of the organization. He's earned that. So all of that stuff together with Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and Von Miller signing in the offseason, who is a wise and really gifted leader for a young defensive front and a new group of guys up in the defensive front. He has really added some stability there and brought out the best in some of the younger defensive ends they've drafted in the last couple of years. So, yeah, this is a team that is a locomotive when they're healthy. And Miami almost found that out with four starters out in the defensive secondary for Buffalo, with three different guys who didn't expect to play on Sunday being in on the offensive line for Buffalo. They still almost got it done against a Miami team that was – seemingly flying high. And you saw it 2 weeks ago. That team came in off of the huge comeback against Baltimore thinking they were going to really, really play well. And it was all they could handle to sneak out of there with a two point win over a debilitated Buffalo team. So yeah, Buffalo's good. They're very deep. Their quarterback is the engine for the offense. No question about it. A lot like Baltimore. And on defense, their front has played extremely well thus far. So yeah, you talk about a window being open. This window, while it is wide as open as it's ever been, this is a team that has expectations within the building of itself, and they're going to play like that.
Steve, I go back to your era and Brian Cox and all that stuff and the Miami-Buffalo thing. And I sort of felt a little bit of that last week, that the Miami finally sort of punched back a little bit. And meanwhile, we're in New England and they're a shell of what they used to be, right? So where's Miami in all this as far as a rival and beating you guys last week in that way? And certainly the way they beat us, their skill position players offensively, it's a tough matchup. I mean, and especially when you're fatigued and they're not to some degree.
Oh yeah. Miami's got some guys on the outside that are really good. I think their offensive line needs some help. They struggled. They hit the one deep ball against Buffalo on a third and long, and you know, yet just they got it. Tua did a nice job looking off the safety, coming back, and still almost couldn't fit the ball in. But, you know, it was a great play by them. And those guys on the outside, I think Miami struggles to use them as effectively as they could because their offensive line makes it so that Tua has to get rid of the ball a little too quick to let those plays down the field develop. It makes it hard to throw the deep vertical passing game when Tua needs to drop back and throw it on time, get it out. That's their problem, I think. Certainly, when you give Tua time and those guys on the outside can go down and run route combinations down the field, it's going to be a problem because there's just too much space for teams to cover. And I think that's what they ran into against Buffalo. The Buffalo front forced Tua and made it so that Tua needed to get rid of the ball a little too fast to throw it deep. So they were forced to do the timing routes and that kind of thing, use their running game, which is something they use play action more than anybody. So we'll, you know, I think that's where Miami is at this point. They're finding ways to win, no question. The Baltimore found it out. The Bills found it out this last weekend. But I'll say that the major conversation in Buffalo, even after that loss in Miami, was, you know, Buffalo is still the team to beat in that division. If the Bills don't struggle further with injuries like that, if they start getting guys healthy and start playing like we've seen them play, nobody in that division can touch him. That's the conversation in Buffalo. But it's, and some people are saying it's good for Buffalo. Now they're chasing Miami because of the one loss record and being down a game in the division. It's good for Buffalo to have that fire lit under them because they're going to be chasing them in the standings for the AFC. So, Miami with Tua and stuff, if they don't beat themselves, I'll say that for Mike McDaniel, they played really well against the Bills. As a total roster, their offense tries to carry the day with big plays, and if you keep a lid on their big plays, they struggle to score. That's kind of the modus operandi. And if you can get their defense and you can nick their defense a couple of times, you can beat them. But they don't beat themselves.
Steve, Lamar Jackson offseason, not signing. You already mentioned Josh Allen. He's got control of the building. He's got a contract. He's there. He's the flavor of the month, the flavor of the year. Lamar here is... didn't show up for OTAs, is his own agent, he's going to play it out. I think on the inside for me, when I talk to smart people about that, I kind of wonder whether he really wants to be here, whether he wants to be a Dolphin or a Buccaneer or stay in Florida or have a tax situation that would be better for a guy taking on $200-300 million worth of money, as well as the fact that the Ravens haven't married him and what happened with Deshaun Watson. The fact that Kansas City's married to Patrick Mahomes. Arizona's married to their – all these teams are married to their quarterback. This is a very unique thing, I think, from the Players Association, for the pressure on him to get the right deal for everybody else. But more than that, this is just weird for the Ravens to be doing business this way, to leave themselves a little unprotected. Now, they could trade him off, get picks, whatever. But are you really going to trade Lamar Jackson? Or are you really going to give him $280 million of guaranteed money next year? Because the price is going up. There's no doubt about that.
Right. And I'll say this. It's interesting because both you can see the leverage on both sides. Lamar is one of a kind, and you could plug Lamar into just about any quarterback situation in the NFL and that team would improve. I mean, they would have to switch out. They'd have to load it up and do what the Baltimore Ravens have done around him. But that guy can play. On the other side of that, is he going to really be one of those quarterbacks that can put together a 15 or 16 year career, given the kind of physical exertion he's going to be put under and that kind of quarterback play? We've never seen that happen. There's those who think that may be his undoing. He may be a 10-year guy, but he's 5 years in right now. And you don't want to be paying a guy $65 million a year in 5 years when he's not worth $65 million.
Well, the first thing we've always said is he runs into linebackers. Now he's doing less of that, right?
That's right.
I mean, we're seeing
right.
him be less treacherous
right.
and he had
but
to do that to survive,
too.
Right?
But the Baltimore Ravens have some leverage as well. They can just franchise him. And as long as he keeps betting on himself and is highly motivated, they get the best version of Lamar Jackson every single year. If they don't get a deal done this year, they'll franchise him, give him $40 million, and they'll continue to build what they can around him and get the best version of him all the way through the franchise tag and their ability to franchise him. And then when he's done, he'll be a 6-year, a 7-year guy? After two franchise tags? Okay.
I don't think he'll play next year, Steve.
That may not be. He may not. And he may not. And if he doesn't, well, that's both sides lose, right?
I'm a little shocked he's playing now. I mean, we talked about it all summer. Like, if he were my kid, and we've talked to him about Lloyd's of London and insurance, and he hasn't answered any of that. But you know, we've talked all year. Like, if he was your kid, would you want him playing for $23 million right now? I mean, literally.
Well, $23 million is hard to walk away from for anybody, even an NFL quarterback, to sit down and not get. Because if you walk away from it, you don't get it, and you don't get the new contract either. At least not right away. And if you're going
to talk to Le'Veon Bell about that, right? Literally.
That's right. That's right. And so, and the Ravens have seen this happen before, and they got bit by it when Joe Flacco bet on himself. He takes him to the Super Bowl as the MVP. They got to pay him. And he was the highest paid quarterback in the league. And, you know, long term, it's not that great. They've been down this road before. So they're playing this with a little bit of knowledge that maybe other teams haven't been quite so, you know, quite so quick to learn. I'm with you. Lamar has leverage. The club's got leverage because they signed him to the deal and they drafted him. And if he wants to bet on himself, awesome. The club will take that because they've got him this year. And after what happens this year, they can make it a call, maybe either to pay him or not to pay him. But it's hard to bet long-term on a quarterback of the style that Lamar Jackson is, as good as he is. And he's as good or better than anybody at what he's doing. But he hasn't won in the playoffs yet. We'll see if he can do that this year. And I think we'll get a chance to. You're asking a franchise to bet on a style of quarterback that has notoriously been unsuccessful in the NFL. The leverage is there. And I think it's really intriguing storyline. And I love that he bet on himself. He's unafraid, and it shows that he's confident that he can do this long term. It shows other teams that the guy is the unicorn they think he is, and he's, and I really believe he's the one quarterback in any situation who go in and you can win with him, even if you don't have players on the outside to help him, even if you.
Well,
you know,
did that as a rookie, taking Flacco's offense, right? He won games,
right? So I think it's a really intriguing problem for Baltimore. We've never seen anything like this. Most quarterbacks get what they want, but Lamar is different for a variety of reasons. He's better for a variety of reasons. Man, I just think it's a really intriguing storyline, and I think we're going to have to watch it play out. You're right. Lamar could force his way out. If he puts together a season this year, plays under the tag, and plays in his final year for $23 million, has a great year, does it all, he can sit out and demand whatever he wants. And Baltimore's either actually got to pay him or trade him, because you don't want to go, if they go all that way and do all that, they don't want to just cash it in after 1 year, right?
Well, that would be my concern for him as a fan and as a Baltimore person here, is just to say he watches the NBA, and the ability to get free and the ability to dictate where you go. I mean, Deshaun Watson, look at the market for him. It's not hard to figure out where that somebody would give Lamar $300 million this time, April of next year, if they could, and if the Ravens could wind up getting a couple of ones out of it, because they don't want to give him $300 million. But there's a point for me where I really do wonder whether he really wants to be here in the end, or whether this is a chance for him to be an NBA player and pick where he wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a team like Seattle, after 1 year in purgatory, said, we'll take him, you know, we'll give him that money. Or a team, you can go down the list. There's a quick list of teams you can say, the ones without a quarterback. Houston, for instance, if Davis Mills doesn't work out, you know, that kind of thing. If Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill are kind of, it's time to be done with that experiment, and the other guy behind him. Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett comes in, plays the rest of this year, stinks, and they don't see a high end. You know, Pittsburgh could be a team like that.
How about Tampa in his home state, where he could save the taxes?
That's exactly right.
I always, when I talk to smart people, Steve, Florida, taxes, home, money.
You can go to the states too. It's Tennessee, it's Texas, it's Florida, where the ones where, and California's kind of out of that conversation.
Right.
So unless San Francisco, you know, Trey Lance doesn't do it, Jimmy G is completely out of the conversation, San Francisco steps up and says, how would you like to come play in here and win a world championship or multiple world championships with our defense and you running it? You know, you might be able to appeal to him on a competitive side of it, or long-term saying, listen, you win a couple of world championships, you know, the money's going to be secondary to, you know, the kind of life you could have out here. So, yes, there's a list of teams that you can put together. Chicago, you know, Detroit, you know, all these old teams that, you know, have never been able to get out of their own way, bringing him in there. Yeah, a lot of teams are on the menu for a guy like Lamar if he wants to go and get some guaranteed money.
Well, Steve Tasker's joining us here. I would just say this. We're not talking about that with your quarterback going anywhere. And no. I guess that's the really weird part of all this, that the Ravens usually don't allow this to happen. We didn't talk about where Ray Lewis was going to play next year or where right. Ed Reavers. We just didn't. And that's over 25 years. That's what makes this a its own unicorn situation, that in season we're talking about where our quarterback might not be here next year.
Right. And you know, the contract that got in the way of it was the Deshaun Watson contract. And now all of a sudden, you know, that's the one that even owners around the league are going, man, we're not doing that. We're not going to give a guy a guaranteed $236 million contract. It's bad business. For whatever reason, the Browns decided to do that. Now every other – and we've all seen it all throughout our lifetimes, that everybody else, every other quarterback in the league is going, hey, me too. You know, me too. Kyler Murray did it. Deshaun can do it. You name it. So Josh Allen signed his deal, and he's not going anywhere. He's going to see the end of that contract. Mahomes is going to see the end of his contract. You know, in 2026, 27, maybe if Pat Mahomes isn't playing as well as he thinks, maybe they can get out of that in 4 or 5 years of a 10-year deal. But, you know, that I think Lamar and the way that, you know, he decided to play. And that's the thing that puts this into another level of wow for people watching. He's not sitting at home saying, watching his team stink, thinking they would be better with him. He's playing and playing at a really high level and having him say, wow, we really do need this guy's this guy's it. He's an MVP. So that's cool.
Can't imagine a better football game. Week 4, Steve Tasker here from Buffalo. The Bills and the Ravens getting together. Strange 1 o'clock game, not the bright lights. Bringing all the bring me down some wings, some beef on whack. We'll do the usual party here and have the Bills Mafia jumping through tables and stuff. Ticket prices are crazy here, Steve, because the Bills fans are coming down eating up all the tickets. I think you'll have 20,000 fans here this weekend.
They may. They travel pretty well. This is a fun team to travel around and be around. This watching Josh Allen, Steph Diggs, and Von Miller play is a little bit – a little like being a crack addict. You can't wait till your next one. You know, everybody's waiting for the next game, even though they took it on the chin this last weekend. People are just frothing at the mouth to watch them play.
Well, we can't wait for it either. We get Diggs back here. He a Terp, a little homecoming for him. Steve, I always appreciate you. We'll get you into the Hall of Fame soon. If I had a vote, I always say, but they, you know, I don't have a vote, but if I had a vote, and I appreciate your time as always. You're always fun to have on, and I hope I get to rub elbows with you some point, get a wing or get a pizza or something.
All right, Nestor. Good talking to you, man.
Steve Tasker, known him a long, long time. He is up in Buffalo covering all things Bills as a former Bill and a pretty good one at that. We got pretty good football around here. Luke Jones is out in Owings Mills all week long, bringing you left to right on your radio dial, full Ravens coverage. And, of course, I am at BaltimorePositive.com.